Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center, Fort Irwin, California. My name is Captain Seth Rivetta, and I will be hosting this podcast today. The Gauntlet brings you best practices from the Army's experts in combined arms operations. Today, I am pleased to have a selection of signal trainers from Operations Group to discuss how to best prepare the signal enterprise for large-scale combat operations and some of the major trends that we see from the signalers that endure the gauntlet. For myself, I am a signal trainer over a combined arms battalion formation. Scorpion 30 is my call sign, and I have 20 rotations.
And Major Ryan Gennard, call sign is Bronco 30. So I'm the Brigade S6 trainer and currently have 14 rotations.
I'm Captain Bazinski. I'm Cobra 30. I'm the CAV signal trainer, and I currently have 8 rotations.
Hi, I'm Captain Logan Dimmick, call sign Wolf 30, and I cover down on the field artillery S6 sections, a little over 30 rotations.
I'm Captain Steve West, call sign Eagle 30. I'm the Aviation Task Force signal trainer. I've done 13 rotations.
And I'm Captain Joe Collar, Sidewinder 1-2, signal company trainer, and I have 20 rotations.
All right, so the first thing I'm going to open up the floor to is, how do the S6s best prepare to come to the National Training Center while still at home station?
Hey, Seth, thanks. And I think we'll start from the brigade perspective. So again, it's a holistic approach, you know, at the brigade. So when we say best prepare to come to the National Training Center, I think one of the things we talk about is proficiency. Now, we do talk signal gunnery tables. We do talk our training circulars. We have some of our different manuals that have been put out, right? Especially the one you just sent, right? An operator's course. But I think it comes down to the preparedness is, again, setting the conditions for what is the unit actually going to have to do. Glad we have the Task Force Aviation signal trainer here, because when we talk even enablers, when we say prepare, it's going to be, what are you actually having to accomplish at NTC? And I think that's the first question we need to start at.
All right, sir. So you mentioned the Task Force Aviation crew being specifically difficult to prepare for the BCT or the Brigade Combat Team. So, Steve, would you like to go ahead and talk your piece?
Yes, sir. So from the aviation perspective, contextually, how we've constructed NTC for aviation task forces and cabs that come through here to support division rotations, we've placed them about 150 miles away from the BCT and the FLOT. So that triggers some issues for upper TI and over the rising comms, which is the underlying tone from everything I'm going to talk about today from aviation is the importance of upper TI and over the rising comms, specifically JVCP and HF. So that's kind of the friction point. And how do you integrate aviation that has a division mission doing deep shaping efforts with attack aviation? And then how do you integrate into the BCT for aerial sustainment and medevac? I think those are the two main things that BCTs struggle with. And also aviation has to come to the table and advertise what they have. And how do you get that with signal? The BCT S6 has to understand what the cab is bringing, and the cab S6 needs to be able to, you know, show up and integrate with the BCT early on to set the stage for successful comms, specifically for that distance.
No, Eagle 30. Hey, thank you. No, I really think, like I said, perfect segue from what we were talking about at the brigade perspective. And that's just it, right? As you're the aviation task force and you're going to be separated from the brigade main, you know, what am I looking at? Is the commander a digital person? Do they want data? Do they want just voice? Are we sending you some sort of upper TI connection a couple times a day to pull down that data? And I think that's right where I said, hey, you have to really look at what you're going to do at NTC. So right there is a planning factor. I already know my aviation task force. We're going to be reliant between TACSAT for voice, JBCP for messaging, and then also just whatever data or mission command systems we have to offer at the brigade or division level. That's what I say. There's where my aviation task force is going to be able to pull from to maintain C2.
All right, perfect. Thank you, sir. So for the fire enterprise. Logan looks like he is chomping at the bit over there, so I'll pass it over to him.
Yep. So in regards to the fires enterprise, so it's critical for the battalion S6s to integrate with the battalion FDCs to come up with a feasible and realistic digital sustainment training plan that incorporates not only all the battalion FSOs and FSCs, but also incorporates the brigade FSC. Now, typically that's kind of led and planned through by the brigade fire support element. However, what we see a lot is a lot of disconnect between the battalion and brigade S6s with their fire support enterprise, ensuring that a digital sustainment training that's progressive throughout a train-up cycle that essentially culminates with the mission command validation exercise, an entire brigade one, that validates all the fire's systems, so SIPR LAN, how are they sending processing fire missions through HFDIG? Are they validating processing fire missions through FMDIG? And then in the event they need to utilize JVCP, are they testing that all that equipment prior to coming to the National Training Center?
Hey, thanks, Wolf 30. No, I think it's perfect. Again, when you talk planning and at the brigade echelon, when we say, okay, this is what our fires plan is, you know, how is the brigade fire direction center, the FDC, how are they sending missions or receiving missions from those subordinate echelons? So our aviation brethren, and then also ADA, so our air defense artillery assets that we have out in sector, you know, how are they communicating? So putting that plan all together knows then at the brigade echelon, what do I have to plan for my network? And then also for any digital networks via mostly FM here at the National Training Center, which I think goes to play then over to the signal company and their role in supporting the brigade retransplant.
So I think that's a perfect segue to pass it over to Joe Collar.
From a signal perspective, it's important for the signal company commander to be well nested with the Brigade S6 to understand kind of the retrans plan, specifically each phase and as a whole, to more or less understand, hey, not only the signal company retrans, but the retrans teams at the maneuver battalions.
No, hey, Sidewinder 1-2, perfect. I'll cut in there because I think what we constantly hear about is, does the Brigade S6 really own the brigade retrans, meaning the battalion's assets? Because we say they're the brigade commander's retrans. And I think what we really mean is it comes back to, again, how are we preparing for this fight? It's knowing the fight and knowing the distances. And then again, who do we actually have to support? We've talked fires, we've talked ADA assets, and then we also need to talk again at the National Training Center, four-channel pace. You know, it really comes into how is a brigade commander going to talk to subordinate commanders? And also, how are we passing the information such as on the O&I chat, so the operations and intel, how are we passing that via FM? So I think going into that, we can go to the CAV next and say, you at distance really need to understand the plan and then understand what assets you bring to the fight and how that's going to tie into the overall C2 architecture of the brigade fight.
Yeah, absolutely, sir. Captain Pazinski, what you said, sir, is basically when it comes to the retrans is really important because the CAV is going to be parallel planning with brigade the whole time. So we're always out front. So when it comes to the retrans themselves, we kind of have to go back to the basics. So when it comes to the question that Scorpion 30 brought up as far as how do you prepare to come out to the National Training Center, let's focus on that portion first. When it comes to the CAP, retrans is their primary way of talking because they're so far forward from the brigade, from the BSA, and so forth that they actually need to ensure that their vehicles are FMC. We got to go down to the basics. And I say that because we see this time over time where they'll come to NTC and their vehicles won't be properly outfitted with the right antennas, with the right equipment, with the radios being FMC, fully mission capable, with the vehicles themselves being fully mission capable. So if we can start with that, then from there, we can start building up. As far as preparing to come out here, one of the big things that I've seen at the CAV level is the S6 needs to ensure at home station that they're doing their validations correctly. And by validations, we use that term very loosely. What does that actually mean? Validations meaning, hey, I am able to send a message to you via JBCP, and you're also sending one back. That is a validation, not just turning them on. Going back to the radios themselves, same thing. I talk out to you, you talk back to me.
Awesome point, Cobra 30. And I think that's where, you know, going back to what we talked about, Scorp 30 with, hey, signal gunnery tables, what does that really mean? Well, what that means is, again, at the brigade level, we should have that built into our annual training guidance in collaboration with the S3 shops, whether it's at brigade or whether it's at battalions. How do we get our signal training incorporated into the brigade or the battalion's training plan? How do we go ahead and nest ourselves within a FSCX, so a fire support coordination exercise, where we're not only going to have, you know, a maneuver unit on the ground with maybe their command post set up, but also we have fires involved. We also have aviation involved. And then you have a brigade C2 element involved. So right there in one, you know, 3-week exercise or 2-week at the brigade level, I can go ahead then and incorporate what I would call my preparations, just as I would do for the National Training Center, into an exercise such as that. You just talked PMCS, you talked operator level proficiency, but you also talked knowing what the plan is. And doing that plan goes and nests within a larger plan, such as what are we doing at the National Training Center over our 14-day rotation.
Really good point about the signal gunnery tables. The one thing I would like to add on to that is understanding at what point your signal gunnery tables should be complete in conjunction with your main command post validation. Understanding that training circular 6-0.2, training the mission command warfighting function for battalions, brigades, and brigade combat teams, specifically looking at that for the command post validation tables. I think that is a critical tool for S6s to understand how to jump in and when to have their systems validated so that the entirety of the command post can be validated
to include the fire systems and the intel systems.
No, 100%. And thanks for bringing that up. So, you know, in TC6-02.1 for signal gunnery tables, it also lays out who's responsible for each of those validation gates. And that's where really at the brigade level and at the battalion level, you can tie that into, again, in your S3 operations section, understanding then and having that commander or that representative on ground for that training really ties in then the understanding, not only in signal and S6, but then from the commanders, from the maneuver leaders, what their responsibility is for that crew, and that proficiency is exactly tied to that.
Absolutely, sir. Two other points I would like to bring up, specifically looking at what I've seen from the Combined Arms Battalions. Two things that you probably want to look forward to for preparing for the National Training Center. One, practicing your signal maintenance while going through your gunneries at home station. Practicing it at a dispersed location. This way you get the repetition of that, because that is one of the most difficult things that signal leaders will see here at the National Training Center. So having rehearsed it across the entirety of your home station training area is probably critical for your success here.
A lot of the equipment that we as signal leaders deal with are non-reportable equipment listed on the ESR. I highly encourage all battalion S6s to integrate themselves into their battalion maintenance meetings regularly. They have to be an active participant in those meetings if they really want to see change in their signal comms health. And then also developing a great relationship with their maintenance warrant, who can also list some of those critical systems like JVCPs, for instance, listed on by bumper number on specific vehicle types as component of it. So that way those systems get the visibility by the command teams that they so desperately need.
Hey, Wolf 30, great point about maintenance. So I think, again, that goes back to holistically understanding the maintenance process. And then again, we talk planning to come down to the National Training Center. It's understanding your enablers and how do they fall into that maintenance process. Hey, what's great at brigade level, though, is, you know, understanding the maintenance at the brigade support battalion, understanding the communications electronics warrant position. The 94 echoes really bring something that S6s can really use, as in one, the 20 level subject matter expert on mostly every, you know, piece of MTOD equipment we have. But then also that's another button you can push. And as you talked about, Wolf 30, with, hey, understanding your maintenance warrant or their section and then how we get things to report on the ESR, they are someone you can leverage when you're coming to NTC to ask those questions of how are we going to get enablers parts? How are we going to go ahead and tie them in to our FSR LARS support package? Is that understood across so we understand that even though I might not make that battalion or brigade maintenance meeting, I understand when products are due to get my requests in, to get my submissions in for that package to come out and support me, or just get that part put on somebody else's log pack to then, you know, I can meet halfway to, again, continue the sustainment enterprise of signal equipment.
Doing your homework before you come to the National Training Center, and that includes doing your speed analysis, because it's no secret where you're going to deploy to, whether it's overseas or the National Training Center. So you can do that research a little bit ahead of time so you have a head start and have your tools gathered. Another one is ensuring that you have your system staged for success on loadout. A lot of units will pull out their JVCPs in their entirety, which has a tendency to break cables and multiple systems not function when they reinstall.
I would add on to two levels up and one level down, because when it comes to the command post, a lot of times, let's say the command post does get hit and you take out that officer in charge, they have no idea what's going on within the S6 section. So if they have those two levels up, they can still function. They understand what's going on. And the second one is cross-training, because as of right now, we know signal ears throughout the Army is very limited. So as hard as having a 25 Bravo, no 25 uniform job, that's going to be significantly improving the command post as well, because you never know what's going to happen to them. And then they can also help out as far as getting those systems validated and up and running when they do jump the CP.
So from the aviation perspective, oftentimes BCTs at home station aren't thinking about aviation while they're in the field. But the BCT S6, if they understand during the convergence windows what capabilities they're getting, they can help mesh that into their pace planning. So for instance, in a convergence window, if you have a Gray Eagle on station doing intelligence collection, you might also be able to leverage that platform for aerial retrans for decisive portions of your operations. So think about that from an operational perspective and how you're going to implement outside entities into your retrans plan at home station.
I think we've beat the drum to death on how to prepare for the National Training Center. However, I do think that is the most important thing as signal leaders is the preparation prior to the exercise. But let's go ahead and pivot over to our next question. What are some major planning considerations during the actual fight that we as signal leaders should be thinking through?
I would say, like how you said, is the maintenance is definitely it, but then also having a standard for a comp stat. I know there's green two or orange two, every unit's different, but having that constant communication with the troops, because a lot of times it's just a radio like, hey, are you guys still alive? Or JPCP message that gets lost. But if they have a standard as far as like, they know, and it's very basic, I go back to basics because we can't do the basics. And if we can, then we're going to be very successful. But it goes back to is as far as like 07 and 1800. At those times, just read off 1 through 5. This is what we have. This is what I think we have that standard set. We will be successful.
Cobra 30, I think you just referenced Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who says great teams do routine things routinely.
There you go, sir.
And I think that goes back to, you know, we talk major trends as an OC. It's really, again, how well do you know your formation? You know, you could say that's a planning piece, a prepared piece, or really when we go into execution, you say, do I understand the processes that we're going to go ahead and execute out here? And that's one thing I can say is the planning, knowing who to talk to, whether it's at the CAV, whether it's at the aviation, whether it's at fires. That's one of the biggest things I've seen as an OC is just you might only have 60, 90 days seat time before you come down here in that role, but it's how quickly can you understand the unit's processes? And it's also how quickly can you understand the people to make those processes work? People's processes and equipment we routinely talk about here at the National Training Center. And again, sticking to those basics really make you do those routine things routinely.
Perfect, sir. You just brought up trends. So I think we go ahead and open up the floor to what are some of the major trends that we see from each of our formations? Sir, if you want to go ahead and start off from the brigade level.
So again, one more trend, I'll leave it at that, is when you come down to the National Training Center, are you going to go ahead? And one of the things overlooked is fighter management. It's understanding that, you know, while we're preparing for the LISCO fight, but can you make it the 14 days down here? We've already hit on maintenance and about, you know, day 4, you really see the blips in the maintenance systems because machines and people run great for a couple of days. But how are we going to continue to maintain those? And I think that goes into, again, just what is your plan for your people in this? We've talked processes, we've talked equipment. What is the plan for your people? And it goes to S6 syncs, it goes to comstats. And we always complain about, I never get anything from higher headquarters. And I always complain that I'm not getting everything from lower. But how are you doing your part to go ahead and I make those reports at battle rhythm event at my level to make sure I send that up to my higher? And then also, am I doing my part to disseminate what I think is important for who else needs to know that at the brigade level, but also at your level? And again, 1 up, 2 down, however you want to look at it. Are you doing your part?
You're absolutely right as far as what you said. The other part too of that is as far as the S6 goes at the battalion level, especially at the CAV, is to be forceful in being part of that planning. Because a lot of times signal can be looked over because they say, hey, it's working, it's going to work. That's great. But when you start moving your CPs, you have to be able to actually have a say in as far as like this location is not going to work, or this is going to be the problem that you're going to have. You're not going to be able to talk to this troop, or you're not going to be able to talk to the brigade. Having that say is going to help out not only your commander to understand the battlefield, but understand exactly what they're going to be able to accomplish. If they know they're not going to be able to talk to a troop for 2 to 3 days, they're going to be able to take that risk on. Or if they're not going to be able to talk to a brigade for the next 2 to 3 days, because they want to go into a spot that's for survivability versus practicality. So if you're able to actually insert yourself in that, that's going to help out. And that also help out with retrains as well and connecting them.
From the aviation perspective, I think historically aviation units at home station don't put an emphasis on ground maintenance. And that goes with ground comms as well. When, you know, a lot of units will show up out here and they'll have 4 of 12 JBCPs, FMC. They might have 2 at home station that are operational at any given day. So getting those units, training that at home station to come out here and set the conditions for their success for their lower TI to work. Secondly to that, air crews not understanding how to use all of their pace within the aircraft. So if you had an Echo model Apache that has Link 16, where they've used that to talk to the ground force or anyone outside of their own mesh. So having air crews are proficient at everything in the aircraft and not just FM, which is the easy button for, you know, talking to the ground, but for long distance legs out to, you know, Nevada test training range outside Las Vegas. If we even go up there for an attack, they need that overriding comms and use all of them because they're fairly limited in the aircraft if they don't know how to use all of them.
One of the trends that we see from the Combined Arms Battalion specifically is because they do not have a 117 series radio tactical satellite communication capability, NTOD to them, they do struggle when they do have that asset aligned to them from either the brigade engineer battalion or the CAF squadron. Once they receive that, they have not had the proper training on it. So that is just a piece of kit that they have sitting at the battalion main command post that they have no training and they do not ever effectively use for their pace. On that same vein, HF, while they do have that MTOD to them, they do not tend to get enough training on that. They are trying to figure it out in stride while they're here. Some units are very good at it and some are not.
Seth, thank you for bringing up pace and having assets that we don't know how to use. It goes back to proficiency, right? Knowing ourselves. And it's something I think you can see at any echelon when you say, do you really have that? So we'll see pace plans very robust. We stick to the 4-channel pace at the National Training Center for a reason. We keep it simple. And even in that pace, it's all right to have a P or an A, you know, primary and alternate. We don't have the contingency. We don't have the emergency yet. It's all right to say that and be honest with ourselves, be honest brokers, because what also the National Training Center is a training exercise. And as a signaler, I think it's one of the best because when you come out of here, you don't just have a list of here's everything we failed at. It's a list that drives the training that we just discussed in annual training guidance, in our signal gunnery tables, in those home station training events. That list is built down here on the I now realize we have this equipment and we don't have the proficiency. Hey, I also realize we need to use this to talk to our enablers, to talk to our CAV squadrons, to use our Fires Enterprise, not just on one single P for their entire FATAD system, but it's now a list that drives the training and drives the purchasing after the National Training Center back when you're at home station. You know, and final thought is I think something at the brigade level is how does the signal company incorporate into the brigade? Joe, what's your experience in your 20 rotations down here with the brigade signal company and how do they really tie into the brigade plan and just the brigade command post?
That's a great point, sir. I think it's best that we all stay integrated. We over-communicate as far as some of the retrans trends that I'm typically seeing is, you know, everybody not deploying with their full arsenal of equipment, i.e. bringing out spares, I think is the keys to success at any echelon. So therefore, sir, with the 20 plus rotations, I think it is just beneficial to, you know, stay integrated.
That's perfect. And, you know, when you say integrate, you're also the SME that everybody looks to in the brigade. You know, if a battalion retrans team has to incorporate maybe an 11 series or a 19 series in there to make that team whole, when they look at somebody to say, hey, I might need this spare equipment, or hey, do you have those TTPs you can hand over? That's coming to you over to Brigade Signal Company. So I think, again, it's very important when we talk to peoples and processes to know where that information lies at and for the signal company. And there's a lot of information that you hold over there in the Brigade Signal Company.
Logan, do you have any major trends from the Fires Enterprise?
Yes, I do. So I have two major trends that we typically see out here. So one, the battalion FDC and the S6 overlooking how they are going to pull meteorological data, also known as MET, in a tactical environment. This usually leads to a lot of friction because it is critically important in order for an FA battalion process fire missions to be able to pull timely and routine MET data. So this is normally done through Tactical Nipper. It can also be done through the CTCP's VSAP. Essentially what it is accessing a website online, being able to pull that MET data down, burning that onto a disk, transferring that into a profiler, and that which then converts it into the FATIDs. But the critical linkage there is the transport capability. How are you accessing that information? So thinking through that problem set prior to coming out is critical. The second thing is transferring that data onto something physical, on a disk. So that means, does the battalion have an approved data transfer agent? Does someone have burn write privileges? If not, working with your Brigade 6 and your local NEC to appoint a primary and alternate data transfer agent is crucial for an FA battalion.
For the cavalry squadron, so one of the big trends here is this retrans. So retrans is a major component, like I've already said before. But a lot of times what happens is it comes down to a manning issue. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll pull personnel from the retrans themselves and they'll place, like Bronco 30 said, they'll put an 11 series or a 19 series in there that have no idea what's going on. When in reality, when you're supposed to have a 3-man crew, you really only have a 1-man or gal crew that knows what's going on. So that can hinder the process, because what's going to happen is that person's getting burnt out when you're pulling a 2, 3, 4, 5 day retransmission. For future planning references is understand team prior to coming out and make sure that that team is sustained and is intact throughout the rotation.
Great point. So while we're on retrans, one thing that the Combined Arms Battalion, specifically in the Armor Brigade Combat Team, struggle with, when the brigade does end up taking their retrans to support brigade, they no longer have any retrans assets per MTO because they're only authorized one, the 3 maneuver battalion, which is not an issue for the striker battalions because each of those maneuver battalions are authorized 2. But when they have that asset taken from them, you no longer see a plan for them to be able to talk. They don't anticipate that, and then they just sort of struggle through the fight at that point. So understanding that that is always an option for brigade to pull that asset to support the brigade channels to enable that brigade level 4-channel pace. Having individuals trained potentially down at the company levels to just insert a dog bone to make a makeshift retrans to support your own internal battalion nets is critical. All right. And the final thing that I'm going to throw out here is what are the keys to success just for any signaler, not solely for the National Training Center, but in general?
No, hey, Seth, I'll go ahead and start. You know, I think as I get older here, especially after Brigade S6 time, you know, understanding that you're a lifelong learner of the signal community. I came back down here to the National Training Center, and while even in Brigade S6, we heavily used HF, I didn't actually have hands-on. So I think going back, and again, as we talk these signal gunnery tables, as we talk planning, understanding what we need to do, and then understanding the people that have to do those processes, I had to take a hard look at myself and say, what do I need to re-blue myself on? And some of that was just our handheld tactical radio classes. Some of it was also, hey, I was a ComSec account manager, but truly, what does somebody who's LE need down at that battalion echelon, day-to-day, understanding what they have to do with that SKL. And then, oh, by the way, now that I signed for ComSec, that was a real wake-up call of when I'm signing for my own EKMs, the electronic key management worksheets, it makes me think, did I actually do this right? Because now I have to go answer to a manager.
Yeah, and real quick, sir, before we break it off, is like you said, is we don't know everything. We got to continue to learn, but you may like, and we've already discussed, like you may be in the seat for 30, 60, 90 days prior to coming out, but understand your shop. Understand the key knowledge within that shop and understand the talent management, because once you're out here, you're going to need to organize that talent management and to shift work and things like that. But if you understand that, you will be successful.
The one thing that I would like to point out is just think through some of the unique training opportunities out there that are not necessarily nested within our own skill set, but could help us be able to achieve our mission. One great course is the Army Reconnaissance and Surveillance Leaders Course, or ARSLIC. Just being an option to send 25 uniforms to, so they can learn those field expedient antennas, but also learn how to better prepare their hide sites, which will help them when they're up on a hill.
Yeah, I'd say one key to success for the S6 community as a whole is to fight to stay relevant in a garrison and tactical environment, right? Integrate yourself with the S3 shop, right? So that way you can coordinate and plan your own battalion comms focused training. But if you are just hiding in your office on a day-to-day basis and not fighting, we're going to develop a long-range training plan, doing your soldiers and your battalion a disservice. So highly recommend integrating with the S3 as frequently as possible.
I would like to add, I think build on that from Logan's perspective, in the tactical environment as an S6, don't forget you can be a key player in the planning. Like, you don't have to just remember to do ones and zeros and then just sit in the corner while you're in the main CP. You know, remember to think locations for main CPs, that's kind of going to be your bread and butter, as you can influence that with the 3. So it's not just a garrison environment. I think it's also a tactical environment. And if you have that trust built in garrison, you have that say in the tactical environment and you're a trusted member of the staff and you're not just sitting in the corner.
The best advice I ever got as a signaler was from a G6, and they said, know your formation's doctrine as well, if not better, than the people within that formation. This way you can better support it.
So we discussed earlier a key to success was fighter management. I would argue to say fighting products is another key to success. So when referencing our retransmission checklist 11-02-001, I think it's a great tool to add to every retrans team. It's a great tool to add to the kit bags of every retrans operator and the team chief. This will help empower every member of the team to include the company leadership.
To that point, Joe, I think understanding where to find some of these tools is pretty critical as well. So leveraging Central Army Registry for some of those GTAs that break down things like retrans, HF, and then just your individual task lists and your collective task lists, that is a great resource. All right, so at this time, I'd like to thank all of the 30 from across the operations group, Sir, Logan, Josh, Steve, and Joe. Thank you for coming.
As always, our observer coach trainers are here to assist units. I invite you to look at our Meal Suite page for the latest products from Operations Group and subscribe to Operations Group Tech Talks on YouTube for short lessons learned on successful techniques. Thank you for listening to Thinking Inside the Box, the Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center.